It's time for the Mount Vernon Wildcat Coaches Show on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. Wildcats football is brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, United Fidelity Bank, Auto Car Trader, Crane Credit Union, Expressway Chevrolet, Bud's Hardware, the Mount Vernon M Club, Expressway Jeep, T. Milam of Erie First Advantage Realty, Russell's Excavating, Kaital Eye Care, GAF, and Tequila's.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Mount Vernon High School Football Coaches Show. I'm Alan Buck. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI, and I'm here with Coach Justin Fisher in the lobby of the United Fidelity Bank in downtown Mount Vernon. We got a ball game to talk about from Friday night, the most bizarre ball game I have ever been a part of or watched or broadcast or anything. It was a tale of two games, actually. But Princeton gave everything they had, and Mount Vernon came out on top 42-35. Going in reverse order, you know, when we needed touchdowns at the end and your quarterback is out, you're probably the only coach I know that would turn to a former offensive tackle, defensive end slash tight end, to be at quarterback. But your best in the hands of your best athletes, and three of them stepped up big time, at four of them actually, handling the four ball handlers.
Right.
Not counting Tammy, he handles it all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's kudos to you for seeing that.
I don't think it's got much to do with me. I think it was about as improbable of an ending, probably one of the more crazier games that I've been a part of. I think, you know, reverse order, like you said, just to talk about Brady coming in that position, Schickel. You know, he played the position in junior high.
Okay.
But that's been a few years.
Yeah.
And so I hadn't practiced it a whole lot, if at all. And I think it's a testament to him, his competitive spirit. I mean, same kid we're talking about playing with a broken nose last year in basketball.
So absolutely.
I know he's not scared to compete when, you know, your kind of back's against the wall.
I've seen him do a lot of very poor years in both football and basketball. And you just, he's got talent, but what the other thing he's got that comes from his grandpa is that effort and that determination. And I told his grandpa, I said, he's got way more talent than you do. If you could just instill that will to win and that not-quit attitude in him, he'll be a good one, and he sure is.
Yeah, and his contribution then was paramount, and, you know, us having a chance to win the game there, gosh, it was just crazy. But also, you know, point to kids like a lot of different individuals, but, you know, like Logan Clower, some of the plays he made at the end. Truthfully, whenever they threw the flag there, when Logan scored on the last pass, I didn't even know that he had scored. I didn't see the tail end of it. I was worried that Brady might be past the line of scrimmage, and I thought he was, but looking back on the film,
this is your back foot is it.
Right.
You could step across, and most people don't know that rule.
It was
especially not the people in the Princeton press box that were yelling and screaming.
It was very close, but so I didn't really see what even happened to tail end the play because I was worried about him being beyond the line of scrimmage. But last play of the game where he made the interception, you know, we were playing with two kids at safety that have never played safety at the varsity level ever.
Who were they?
Bryson Reagan and Johnny Crow.
Yeah.
And so we were actually kind of beat. They had a couple guys behind us, and Logan kind of came off of his outside corner position. And we've played a lot. I'm not going to get into split.
He just played the ball.
Right. Well, I'm not going to get into particulars of split cover three and what all that means and all that. But the quarterback hung it up there, and he was able to be in position to make the play and go up and get it. And so really he's kind of the next person that stands out to me there.
Absolutely.
Those two, but there was a lot of guys that made contributions down the stretch and then throughout the game. It's wild, really, the game in general.
Well, you know, when you're piecing things together, you know, Johnny Crow's the next basketball player. He's kind of tall. He's got hands. And Reagan, he's done everything you possibly could have asked of the boy, and he's just a freshman. My goodness, what's he going to do next?
Bryson's going to be an outstanding player. The issue is that when you're a freshman, you know, sometimes there are just certain things you don't understand. And,
sure.
You know, whenever you have some guys playing out of position a little bit, your margin for error decreases, and that's kind of what happened the second half. Some of our run fits defensively got sloppy, but there were some guys that are veteran players that, you know, I thought from a linebacker position, we're going to talk about this real quick. I thought from a linebacker position, you know, like Krieger and Sands were very active as far as the number of tackles they have. But I think overall as a defense, our interior defensive line, I thought struggled at times. And I thought some of our run fits from a linebacker position and the back end on the secondary weren't great. And then number one is obviously a fast kid, special talent. So we'll have to be better in our run fits against Southridge this week when they run the wing tee. It'll be a lengthy night.
Yeah. But
we had a lot to cover before we get to the Southridge, I understand.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we talked about, you know, before we went on the air, two of those carries by Carwin Pope were 160 yards, so we only had 55 other yards on 16 carries. So we really did a good job on him, but a little mistake, maybe it doesn't even have to be a mistake. Just a good play than a good
act. In the second half, went for a touchdown. I think Kel Collins did a really nice job at outside linebacker for us, set an edge. So we kind of got him to turn it in. Then we, like I said, our corner kind of lost leverage there, and he kind of got outside. And that's something with an inexperienced player that sometimes they're just a learning curve there. And then I think he had one for 90 yards, too, pin him back. We got a really good punt. And then he had a
fabulous punt.
We had a misalignment formation we haven't seen a whole lot. But then again, they didn't really block it that well. We had some chances to make the play, and that kid gets space. I mean, he's pretty dangerous. I thought they were better on the offensive line than what I had seen them on tape. They still weren't great, but they did a better job of at least covering people down than they had in previous games at Princeton on some of that stuff. But yeah, defensively, if you want to cover that, we can here.
Yeah, might as well. You got defensive stats there that I don't have.
We kind of talked about their passing game really didn't hurt us. They hit us on one.
Their quarterback, I just was not impressed with his arm. Anything over 10, 15 yards was a lollipop.
Not a great thrower. I mean, they caught us one time with the ball, and then they kind of sucked up, and then they threw one over our head down the middle of the field there in the third quarter.
Oh, yeah.
But then they had the double pass, too, which wasn't by the quarterback. But on the night you know, just a couple statistics here about kids that I thought kind of, you know, if you look at the stat page, going down the list, Krieger had 6 tackles, 2 assists. Hall ended up with 7 total tackles. Schickel ended up with 7 total. And then St. Henderson, interestingly enough, had 6 tackles and 11 assists. So he was around the ball all night, very active. Logan Clowers had 6, and then obviously an interception, pass breakup. And then, you know, we had a lot of guys make contributions as far as, you know, the number of tackles they had. Trevin Bell had a couple sacks, a couple disruptions in the backfield. I just didn't think that – I thought we got in the second half for whatever reason. Our run fits were just not where they need to be. And with a kid like that, and you got a couple guys playing maybe that – don't have a whole lot of experience, your margin for error decreases, and it didn't take much. He got to find a crease, and he was out the gate and off to the races.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. One of the things I really enjoy is seeing a player like that. Don't like him punishing us like that, but you know, Ty Brown last year for South Spencer, Jet Goldsberry, whom we'll get to see in a few weeks. Those guys are just really fun to watch, and like you said, you got no margin of error on a kid like that.
Not much.
So that's all right. Something else I did want to bring out, and I don't remember the play. It was a receiving play. Nathan Tinsley was about 15 yards down the field throwing blocks when the receiver got to him. So, I mean, great job. You know, you can't pay 295 yards to run down the field. They don't like to run, quite frankly.
Nate's kid's always a high-effort kid. So, yeah, not surprised that he would do some of those things. You know, making the transition, since you're talking about offense, I thought – offensive line, there were times we were really good, and there were times when they played a 5-man front, we kind of got bogged down and didn't really weren't as effective as what I thought we should be. And that continues to be a group collectively that I think has to be the strength of our team, because you know, we're fighting some things where some kids are out, but really, you know, none of our offensive linemen play our starters on defense. So as you look down, coming down the stretch here, that should be the group that carries us, and we just there we show flashes of it, but consistently being what we should be. I don't think we've yet to achieve that.
Let me ask a question. I'm not sure what the answer would be, and I don't want to upset anybody, but when they got that huge lead, did they get a little complacent? Or is that not not what it was?
Hard to say.
The rain delay costs a lot. You don't know how it's going to affect either team.
I think that's everybody's natural inclination. Like, you know, whenever it's a very easy conclusion to come to, oh, well, you're up 28-7 at half, and then things start going wrong, and then everybody's conclusion is, well, you weren't ready to play. Well, that's probably an oversimplification of the process of a lot of moving parts on the football field.
Yeah.
I think that's I understand it, but the game's a little more complicated than that. It's just not that simple. I think really what happened was we got out of place defensively a couple times. You get a couple penalties that put you behind the chains. You don't execute from an offensive line standpoint. And then, you know, you get a touchdown call back. There's a lot of variables in play. And then before you know it, it just doesn't take that much. And then we were kind of in rhythm and in a roll.
Yep.
And we scored 28 and 20-0.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they had forced us. We hadn't been stopped. We scored on four consecutive possessions, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then for whatever reason, we just pitched a five-man front and real well. And it just doesn't take a whole lot for a game and the momentum to shift. And I don't know that I have an answer for you. Those are some of the things. You know, you get out of place a little bit on defense with a kid like that, and then you don't execute penalties, and all of a sudden you're in a ball game. And then we had some other stuff within the game happening. It's like it just kind of got bizarre and crazy.
You mentioned not executing properly on the offensive line. The one play at the right angle, the correct angle where we were sitting, the two-point conversion, it looked like the Red Sea opening up. When Krieger got – because prior to that, with the one we tried, there was no push, no opening, no nothing, and it just was nothing. On that one, it opened up, and it was just like, we're in there. That's, you know, I could have walked in there. So yeah, I mean, beautiful job on that.
Well, everything kind of came so easy the first three or four possessions, you know, and so yeah. I think there's a natural inclination. Maybe there is a little bit of letdown because you think, you know, and I had the same thought, too. We're up 28-7 at halftime. We really should have been ahead 35-0. We should have been getting on the bus.
I think mentally they were.
You know, it should have been 35-0, and they probably would have called the game. And but then you start playing the what-if game of all that and all the things that happen after that. It's just you can't. Well,
and if they would have, then we wouldn't have gotten to see one of the most exciting finishes and most what'd you call it?
Improbable.
That was the word. Yes. Well, let's take a real quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about some more from this. You're listening to 106.7.
Hello, sports fans. I'm Mark Isaac, United Fidelity Bank Executive Vice President. At United Fidelity Bank, our in-person friendly service provides peace of mind and worry-free banking. We offer personal and business checking and savings accounts with no hoops and no hassles, ideal certificate of deposit rates, and our easy-to-use online banking platform allows you to bank anytime, anywhere. Our free mobile app provides you access to the accounts on the go, and you can skip the trip to the bank with mobile deposit. Plus, we are proud to offer you access to over 93,000 surcharge-free ATM locations nationwide. Now, that's a reason to come see the difference at United Fidelity Bank.
The Posey County Co-op has proudly been supporting the communities we live in since 1927. With locations in Mount Vernon, Poseyville, Griffin, St. Wendell, Hopstott, and Evansville, the Posey County Co-op is your number one spot for Askro and DeKalb seeds and Purina feed products. The Posey County Co-op also has you covered with their new Posey County Workwear in Mount Vernon. The Posey County Co-op, your number one agricultural resource since 1927.
Buying a used vehicle doesn't have to be difficult. And when you come to Auto Car Trader in Mount Vernon, it's not. This week's vehicle of the week is a 2021 Dodge Durango GT Plus. This sharp SUV comes with a 3.6-liter 24-valve V6 engine. It's rear-wheel drive, has dual stainless steel exhaust, third-row seating, entertainment monitors in the second row, and a whole lot more. Come check it out today at Auto Car Trader and take it home yourself for just $22,990. Stop by the lot at 312 College Avenue or see it online at actpreowned.com. Financing is available for all credit situations at Auto Car Trader in Mount Vernon.
For over 40 years, the Mount Vernon Club has provided support necessary for the success of Mount Vernon student athletes. Since 1971, over $250,000 has been donated to athletic programs, assisting in weight room equipment, uniforms, and granting college scholarships. The M Club sells individual bricks for Wildcat Plaza, which are great purchases for alums and class reunions. Bricks are just $35. To make a purchase, contact M Club President Scott Mitchell at 812-550-0153.
Customer Appreciation Day is coming up at Bud's Hardware this Saturday, September 27th from 9 until 11. Stop by for Three Chicks Fudgery as they'll be giving away free donuts and milk. There's all kinds of door prizes, including a grand prize of a Coleman pellet grill. It's valued at $399.99. Plus, don't forget about all your fall decorations needs at Bud's Hardware in Mount Vernon. Open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. and Saturday from 8 until 5. Celebrating 151 years serving Mount Vernon. Bud's Hardware on Main Street. For over 40 years, Russell's Excavating has proudly served the community. Specializing in commercial and industrial services, Russell's offers site preparation for new construction projects, demolition and industrial maintenance services, and all services are rendered with an emphasis on safety first and customer satisfaction. A proud supporter of Wildcats football is family-owned Russell's Excavating at 6800 Leonard Road South in Mount Vernon. Call 812-838-2471 for Russell's Excavating.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Mount Vernon Football Coaches Show. I'm Alan Buck, and you're listening to 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. We are in the lobby of United Fidelity Bank in downtown Mount Vernon, and Coach Justin Fisher is sitting here, and we are trying to figure out just how that game wound up 42-35 in Mount Vernon's favor last Friday night. It was as the word improbable is going to be said again and again, but there were some... As you said, there were some guys that made some contributions. One of them, early in the game, you got Luke Weintraut really involved. He ended up the game with six catches and 80 yards, but got his first touchdown of the senior season. Was it his first of his career? I don't remember last season.
As far as varsity football, yes, I believe it is. He had a number on JV last year, but I think for varsity, yes.
Well, that was a 36-yarder. That was pretty fantastic. The other thing, in the second quarter, he intercepted a pass. And that was huge, too. I believe that that led to a score. As a matter of fact, he intercepted it
correct
right after a score, and so we got two scores there within 2.5 minutes.
Right. So, yeah, it was good to see him make a contribution. That's been a long time coming for him as far as him scoring a touchdown. He's a nice piece for us to have.
He sure is. He's a good-looking athlete, and, you know, just – takes a little bit maybe to figure out the game once you've been away from it for a while.
Right.
I guess he played it as a youth.
But I don't know if they did or not. I think it's only his second year playing football. So.
Oh, my gosh. Well, then anything he does is a huge bonus.
Correct.
And he fit in Friday night. Princeton wouldn't have known that he hadn't been playing all his life
right.
The way he played. So that's terrific. And Logan, he's on that touchdown reception. I'm sitting there looking in the way with his feet. I bet he and Nash could have a dance contest, a dance-off, because they both got those quick feet. He should have been tackled several times. And, you know, first of all, we talk about the intensity and the determination. He was determined not to get dropped, and then he had those little quick little moves in and out and zigged and zagged and got to the end zone.
He come up big on Friday night, certainly on that play, but a number of other plays too. I mean, like you said, Weintraut had – we had him 7 for 79 or I think he had him 6 for 80.
I had him 6 for 80. But
yeah, they had Logan Clower, 6 receptions.
Over 106. Yards.
Yeah, both those guys respectively with a touchdown apiece. Kel Collins made a couple catches, and then Schickel had a catch there as well. And then you look at the rushing side of it. Krieger, we had him down for 24 rushes for 167 yards. He continues to be – a bright spot running the ball,
I don't know that I've seen a back that runs harder than he does. He just—I don't care what size they are—he just hits people hard, and his explosion when he takes off. And I've told you this before; it's like coming like a track guy coming out of the blocks.
Runs hard, and he's also had the ability to. He can be light on his feet too. He has the ability to cut.
Well, jump cuts are great.
Makes a lot of. He's a good athlete. I've always said that he's. He has all the ability to be, one of the better players that I've really coached. And I think Shane has really progressed, you know, on the mental side of the game this year. So kudos to him.
There were times in the game I said something to Chris. I said, if I'm Krieger, I'm begging for the ball because the way he was running and the way their defense was. And
he's going to have – he's one of our best players. He should be. He's that type of talent. And then we had Easton Hall, 11 for 74. He had a long of 28 with the touchdown. Krieger had two of those. Hall had one. Schickel coming in late of the game had six carries for 61. We've already talked about that. I really can't say enough about that and what he did. And then Ryder, before he exited the game, was 15 of 27 for 152 passing. And then obviously Schickel completed two very big ones at the end for two for two for in his high school passing career now for 53 yards.
A first down and a touchdown on those two passes. So is there going to be a discussion between Brady and Ryder? Say, Ryder, this isn't that difficult. I went two for two. What did you do?
Quarterback controversy, Bruin. No, I don't. We'll have to see what happens here and what kind of unfolds here in the next week or so.
You know, the irony, obviously, you did the absolute best and correct thing, putting Brady – undertaking the snaps. You put the ball in the hands of your best athletes, and he certainly is one. The irony of that is now you took your second best receiver out of the game because your best receiver was already out. So, but that can't be helped. That's
right.
And that's when Logan stepped up.
Right.
So that, there you go.
Kind of at that point.
And we got to end the game on a stolen by Clowers. Clowers stole the ball. That was a great way to go down.
I mean, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say we probably should talk about why we were in that or why you were in that position with losing a few players. That's the sad part.
Yeah, you know, we haven't had a lot of great luck as far as on that front this year. I think probably when you talk about this team. At the end of all this, I'm sure injuries are probably going to be part of the discussion. However, it doesn't have to be a negative thing because there's a lot of football left. And so I'm hoping that the narrative will be, when this is all said and done, that we were able to overcome some major hurdles and some major obstacles and adversity. I have never, in my years of doing this, I haven't seen anything close to this. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been a part of a team that's probably encountered as much as this team has right now. But, you know, the one thing you can say is just proud of the kids for staying with it.
Oh, absolutely.
On Friday night, finding a way. I'm not sure how we won it necessarily at the end, but, you know, there's some resolve to some of these guys. And we're gonna be really tested here. I'm not going to speak on particulars about kids because we don't have all the details and know yet. But we're going to have our backs are going to be against the wall, and we're going to have to overcome, you know, more adversity than any team that I've been a part of. But I certainly know it's possible, and you know, I told the kids today too, like if you stay with it and just continue to prepare the right way and play the right way, good things will happen eventually. You know, when that is, you know, we don't know. It might be this week, it might not be, but we got a lot of football left, and we'll continue to plug on and prepare the right way. And there's going to be some bright spots and some good things happening to this team yet. I feel that, and you know, tough times don't last. I think there's a saying, tough people do. So we'll continue to plug away.
I like that one. I'll tell you what, the Friday night, both teams had good opportunities to quit. I mean, you got out 28-0, 28-7 by half. They could have easily laid down and have been a running clock in the second half. They didn't. Then when they went up by the touchdown and you guys were down three of your top offensive players, you could have done the same thing, and you didn't. And then you failed on the two-point conversion. You could have quit again because your back's against the ball. And then Mason Higginson, I said this on the air the other night, it was a Pat McAfee special. Hit the ball on the top, or did he drive it into the ground? But just dribbled it so it went 10 yards very, very slowly. And for those at home, you can't touch the ball before it goes 10 yards. The defense, I guess, can't. They can come forward and get it.
Correct.
But they stayed back, and Higginson ran and got ahead of the ball. Once it crossed 10 yards, he flopped on it in the fetal position, and that was what gave us the opportunity. That was the ball game right there. And that was with, what, a minute 50
there was 3 minutes.
Three minutes left.
Yeah. Mason's a soccer kid, of course, and so he practices that every day. We just call it surprise onside. So he practices by himself, and then we do our kickoff stuff a couple times a week. We try to do at least once or twice a week that we'll run that. So mm-hmm. it's something that he's been practicing, and thankfully we had it in there. And
I've not seen it executed that perfectly, except for when McAfee did it. I've seen attempts at it. I've seen awful things, and I'm talking about in the NFL.
Thing is, last year when we played Princeton, after we scored 7-0, mm-hmm. which we played them in the last game of the season, when we kicked off after we scored 7-0, we did it last year and recovered it too. Mm. So we had done it one other previous time. It was just obviously at a different, and it was odd because there was a personal foul, so we were actually kicking from their side of the field.
Oh, nothing. Yeah, the same. Yeah, so we did talk about that because the kick could go in the end zone, so they get the ball in the 20.
Right.
So if they do get the ball, what's the difference? We don't lose much. So.
And we're going to have to adapt a little more with some, like you said, some of the kids that we have out. You know, probably our kicking game is going to have to be a little bit different because, you know, we are a little shorter and on depth, and so our ability to cover kicks might not be as strong because, you know, you got to have some guys and football players who can run down the field, and you want to try to give some guys some breaks. So we're going to kind of have to adapt in the kicking game to make up for maybe some of the deficiencies that we have encountered here.
All right. Well, let's take our second break, and we'll get back to this, talk about the Southridge game coming up. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI.
Expressway Chevrolet GMC is family-owned and located on the corner of Highway 62 and 69 in Mount Vernon, Indiana. The dealership was built on the principle that every vehicle buying experience should be easy but fun for the whole family. Our award-winning service department has 26 bays, 11 technicians, with 5 of them world-class. Sales is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Inventory is arriving daily, so remember to shop us before you shop anywhere else and visit us 24/7 at expresswaychevrolet.com, Mount Vernon, Indiana.
Whether you were on the field playing or sitting in the stands, clear vision is important for a successful Friday night experience. Dr. Darren Keitel, with almost 30 years of work in optometry, is dedicated to giving your eyes the care they need. Keitel Eye Care is located at 1900 West 4th Street in Mount Vernon. Open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. Call Keitel Eye Care at 812-838-5526. Dr. Darren Keitel wishes head coach Justin Fisher and the Mount Vernon football team the best of luck this season.
If you're looking for a dream home in Mount Vernon, T. Milam of ERA First Advantage Realty has another great property for you. You need to check out 316 Sunset Drive, a brand new custom-built home by Bel Air Land. This stunning home features 3 bedrooms, 2.5 baths, and nearly 2,000 square feet of modern living space. Inside, you'll love the open concept design, a bright kitchen with stainless steel appliances and a large island, plus a luxurious owner suite with dual vanities and a tiled shower. Be the very first person to call this home your own. Don't wait. Contact T. Milam today. Give Rick a call at 812-453-1068 and check out the listing online at tmilam.com. T. Milam of ERA First Advantage Realty, going that extra mile.
GAF of Mount Vernon, North America's premier roofing and waterproofing manufacturer, proudly supports Posey County football with the mission to protect what matters most. GAF builds unmatched strength, safety, and innovation, qualities that inspire champions on and off the field. GAF is honored to stand alongside our community and cheer on the Wildcats and Vikings players as they leave it all on the field this season. Here's to a safe, successful, and unforgettable season with pride and support from your friends at GAF.
A proud supporter of Wildcats football is Tequila's Mexican Restaurant in Mount Vernon. Check out their delicious lunch, dinner, and drink specials. Dine-in, carry-out, and delivery available. Find their menu and order online at tequilasmexicanrestaurant.com. Satisfy your craving for great Mexican cuisine at Tequila's Mexican Restaurant. Open Monday through Sunday from 11 until 9 at 408 Plaza Drive in the Southwind Plaza in Mount Vernon.
Now at Expressway Jeep, 0% for 72 months on new 2025 Ram 1500 trucks. Or take advantage of huge new incentives. New 2025 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4, only $39,925 or $319 a month. Now at Expressway Jeep, Chrysler, Dodge, Ram in Mount Vernon, Indiana.
Excludes tax, title, and $250 fee. Price includes all rebates and 1500 Expressway owner loyalty with trade-in from any Expressway dealership. 0 for 72 months on well-equipped qualified buyers through Stellantis Financial in lieu of rebates. With approved credit, see dealer for details. Offer ends 9/30/25.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the conclusion of the Mount Vernon Football Coaches Show. I'm Alan Duck. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI, and I'm here with Coach Justin Fisher in the lobby of United Fidelity Bank in downtown Mount Vernon. We have talked about the Princeton game. Fabulous. Folks, if you haven't, if you didn't see it, ask your neighbors about it. It is just terrific.
You know, we're talking to the kids today, and some of the challenges or obstacles that we face, you know, after that game, with some kids being beat up, I said, you know, it's funny because you sure, you know, those issues and challenges would still be there, but it's a lot better dealing with those things after a win than it would be a loss.
It's true.
Especially in a game that you felt like you had control of and then kind of gave up control, and then we figured out a way to win it. So, you know, right now it's day by day, week by week, and we'll see kind of just prepare the same way that we always have and see where – let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, Southridge coming up this Friday. I believe it's a 6:30 start.
Yes.
They are not quite as strong as they have been in recent years, but you might have just evened up the playing field with some of the injuries that happened on Friday night.
A little bit deceiving, the record. They have to be the best 1-4 team in the state of Indiana.
Yeah.
Two of those losses came to Gibson Southern and Heritage Hills.
Heritage Hills, yeah.
And I'm telling you, they lost to North Posey and Boonville in a year, but they are better than both of those teams. If they played them again, they'd beat them.
Yeah. Yeah, Gibson Southern ranked number 2 and Heritage Hills number 1
right.
In their respective divisions. So, yeah, those are not shame to lose to those two teams.
Right. And as I watch them play, you know, Leather's kid at quarterback is obviously a very talented athlete, probably 6'2", good basketball player.
Hadn't he graduated yet? He's been there, what, 6 years? Seven? Did he get the extra COVID year or something?
Unfortunately, he has not. He'll be there.
No, he is a good ball player.
They got fun to watch.
They
got some good skill kids around him. You know, some receivers are nice pieces. Steckler kid, come in and play quarterback from a little bit. Couple running backs. Really, the area that they struggle with this year is they graduated so many offensive linemen. So they started left tackle, who's a sophomore, right tackle, who's a freshman. So that's really where they've had some difficulties in some of these close games they've lost. But Friday night against Gibson Southern, I thought they played their best game yet. They drove down the field against one of the best teams in the state of Indiana, and we're up 6-0, and that game was very competitive in the first half. So, you know, that it's a possibility that they're finding their stride at the right time and getting better.
Yeah.
And so we'll see what happens on Friday, but don't believe what you see as far as
the
win-loss record, because they're, you know, two games they lost, I really do believe that they're better than, you know, the teams that beat them. So
that's the thing that happens in high school football. Sometimes the better team does not win the game, and that's just the way it is.
So they're defensively, you know, they're not huge, but some of their defensive linemen are kind of short, solid off kids who are quick, who are muscular, just typical Southridge. They kind of fly around and they run very well, and so they're going to be aggressive, and it'll be a challenge for us, but. We'll see what happens on Friday and just prepare the right way and kind of sort out a lot of different things on our end and just go out and try to win the football game. That's the goal, and see what happens.
Yeah, you talk about determination. That's one of those things you'll find with Southridge kids too.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you guys got a lot of it, showed a lot of heart last Friday. Just go out and do it again. They're fun. This is a fun bunch to watch. I like them. I told you I liked last year's team. I like this one a lot better, and we've got a real opportunity for some special things this season. We already have had, so let's just see what else happens.
Good group of kids to be around, you know, regardless of, like I said, whatever obstacles or things come about, then always find a way to, you know, try to enjoy the kids, and at the end of the day, that's going to be what's most important after it's all said and done. So we're going to try to win football games in the meantime, but you know, for me, it's essential that these guys know that their coaching staff cares about them and that we're going to try to do everything we can to prepare them and have a good relationship with those guys.
Absolutely. That's the best thing, because ultimately life after football is a lot longer than life during football.
There's no doubt.
But that's a team meal Thursday?
We do have a team meal on Thursday, and so we'll have that. And then home game on Friday.
And the rain for this week is going to be gone by Friday?
Maybe. That I don't know.
Maybe. We'll all right. Well, we will see you at 6:30 start time.
Correct.
And we will leave it there. And good luck Friday. I know you're going to pull it together just like you always do. And I'll say good night to all good sports.
You've been listening to the Mount Vernon Wildcat Coaches Show on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. This broadcast has been brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, United Fidelity Bank, Auto Car Trader, Crane Credit Union, Expressway Chevrolet, Bud's Hardware, the Mount Vernon M Club, Expressway Jeep, T. Milam of ERA First Advantage Realty, Russell's Excavating, Keitel Eye Care, GAF, and Tequila's. Keep up to date with Mount Vernon Sports on your home of the Wildcats, 106.7 WMVI and PoseyCountyRadio.com.